This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The right to bear arms shall not be infringed. Not be infringed. Not be infringed. Not be infringed. Shall not be infringed. Here comes the nation's Second Amendment watchdog. Stand back, gun grabbers, and welcome to the House of Pain. Brought to you by Frog Loop. Performance made in the USA. This is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
Now we're number three. Coming to you live from the Frog Lube Performance Made in the USA studio on a Tuesday night. This is Lock and Load. The number to get in, 877-807-4048. Back when I was a kid, back in the early days of Black Belt Magazine. Well, it wasn't the early days, but it just had switched to color. There was this writer for Black Belt, and he wrote about a lot of the personalities, and it was an interesting style because most of the guys that wrote in Black Belt were martial artists, and this guy was a writer. And I read everything he wrote, and then I joined the military and promptly forgot that I'd ever read Black Belt magazine. And then I get out and I become a Second Amendment advocate, and there he is, now recognized as one of the biggest proponents, most well thought out, and most effective teachers out there in armed self-defense. I'm talking about Massad Ayoub rejoining us. It's been a while. I lost his phone number. Found it again. Here he is. Good evening, sir.
How you doing, Bill? It's good to be back with you and your Lock and Load listeners.
Well, thank you very much. Before we get into everything that you are, let's talk about some of the stuff that you talk about. People come to you a lot and want to know how much is enough to carry as spare ammo. Or capacity, or how much capacity I have to have. Like, there is one answer for that. how long of an answer do you have to give them at that point?
Well, there was an FBI agent who was involved in a gunfight. They killed two brother agents, crippled for life, three more, before they were able to kill the two perpetrators. And during the FBI debriefing training film, he was asked, how much ammo should you carry? And he said, after what I just went through, all you can carry. So it's going to depend on the lifestyle. It's going to depend on the individual's analysis of their threat profile. I certainly recommend at least one reload per gun.
Have you read that story about that regular street cop that carries 147 rounds after a shootout he was involved in?
I've not only read the story, I've written it.
Did you write it?
It's in the current. Well, several of us have written them up. Mine is in the current issue of American Handgunner.
Okay.
It's on the stands now, and your listeners can read it for free at AmericanHandgunner.com. It's in the Ayoub Files section. Tim Grammons, sergeant with the Skokie, Illinois Police Department, one-on-one shooting it out with a very heavily armed robber. The guy had two semi-automatic pistols and an SKS rifle. And in the course of 54 seconds, Tim fired 34 rounds, hit the guy 17 times, and the guy didn't go down at the last shot. The last three shots were in the head, but only the very last shot struck the brain and turned him off. He was carrying a Glock 21 pistol.
45 caliber.
Yep, two-thirds grain Speer Golda, one of the most effective loads out there. And he had shot the guy to pieces, but the guy did not want to accept that he was dead. Tim today carries the Glock 17, 9mm, with several spare mags, including a couple of the 33-rounders, and a Glock 26 for backup.
Yeah, I carry the Glock 17, pretty either that or the 19, but I call the 33-rounder my happy stick. Because I'm happy that I have it, so it's very nice to have.
They're a fun thing to have. We were running some of those today, and we're testing the new Tresna carbine, T-R-E-S-N-A. It's a lightweight, polymer-framed AR-15 platform, 9mm, that takes Glock magazines. And I'll tell you, it's a fun little gun to shoot. I think it's got some potential as a home defense weapon.
The when you're looking at all of this stuff and you're looking at these weapons and everything, is it easier for you to look at somebody that carries a semi-automatic and say, this is the way you should carry the weapon, and this is how much it's easier for you to carry spare ammo versus, say, somebody who is a true wheel gun aficionado and wants to carry a revolver?
I know true wheel gun aficionados who will outshoot you and me together shooting simultaneously. And I am not going to tell Jerry Michalak to carry a semi-automatic. I want the person to carry a gun they're comfortable with and confident with. If decades of studying this has taught me anything, it's that it doesn't come down to what kind of gun or ammo you're carrying. It's going to come down first and foremost to, did you have a gun when the moment came that you needed it? Once
right.
that's accomplished, did you see the danger coming in time to get your gun out before he got his to bear on you? Did you make it clear to him that if he did not cease hostilities immediately, you were going to shoot him, very likely shoot him to death? Only after all that's been accomplished, if the shooting starts, can you hit? Can you hit a part of his body that is going to render him incapable of harming you and yours? Only after all that's accomplished do we even bother to debate about 9mm versus 45, 8-shot pistol versus 20-shot pistol, etc.
You know, I keep hearing these people tell me all the time that in the era of modern ammunition, that there's not that much difference between a modern self-defense load for 9mm versus a modern self-defense load for 45 caliber. And when I'm thinking about that, and I'm thinking, well, one weighs a whole lot more and it's a lot wider. Is that actually valid?
Yes and no. A lot of it depends on the ammunition. The smaller the caliber, the more picky you have to be to get the very best, most effective defensive ammunition. The larger the caliber, the more forgiving it is. As we've had happen two or three times in the last 20 years, there's some political scare. Remember Y2K 15 years ago when everybody was stocking up and you couldn't get ammo? Both Obama elections. And if you wind up having to get, you know, cheap, older tech, cup and core bullets, I'd kind of much rather have that in 230 grain 45 than a 147 grain 9mm. That said, I'm sitting here with some Winchester Ranger 127 grain plus P plus 9mm sitting in front of me. And the testing we've done, humane slaughterhouse animals, that sort of thing, we found it is much more effective in flesh than it is in gelatin. We can show you photographs of a wound track to a hog's chest where it looks like that 9mm bullet had been a 20-gauge rifled slug. So a lot of it comes down to the fine points of ammunition selection. That said, bullet type for bullet type. If we've got real high-tech 9mm, you can see up to, you know, 65, 70 caliber expansion. At the same time with, let's say, Winchester Ranger T in the 45 or the Federal HST plus P, I've seen the Winchester expand out of the 90 caliber range. And I personally killed a hog, dug out the bullets, and one of the bullets was a full inch in diameter. Now, you talk as much as I do with pathologists and study as many homicide investigations. It's amazing how often you hear some variation of either, oh, darn, if the bullet had just been a tenth of an inch the other way, he'd be alive today. And conversely, you see things like the Mark Coates shooting the murder of the trooper in South Carolina, where his bullet had missed a major artery by a tenth of an inch and allowed that SOB to murder the trooper and survive the shooting. So if every now and then a tenth of an inch does matter, I want that tenth of an inch working for my side of the fight.
And there you go. We're coming up on the first break.
Make a point of carrying the 45.
There you go. We're coming up on the first break. When we get back, we're going to continue with Masad Ayoub. You can find him on the Sportsman Channel. On Personal Defense TV, he writes for Guns Magazine, American Handgunner, Gun Week, Guns and Ammo, Combat Handguns, Backwoods Home, everything. We'll be right back.
Think education has to be boring? Say it again. Because this is SDI. With the most effective distance curriculum available, your career in firearm technology beckons. SDI offers the most complete education with local hands-on training available. SDI expands and obliterates the traditional internet-based education format, further enhancing the SDI graduate's capability and desirability as a professional gunsmith. To find out more, go to SDI.edu and get ready to launch your new career.
What would you call a gun shop that's thought out and listened to the calls from the tactical community? A shop that looks like a tactical operator's boutique. The only name that makes sense is Reactive Gunworks.
Reactive Gunworks specializes in making the hard hit more easily obtained.
No more waiting for the build or availability.
Reactive Gunworks seeks out the latest and the best with a discerning taste.
Go to ReactiveGunworks.com.
The weapons you want without any delays.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
All right, welcome back. Coming to you live from the Frog Lube Performance Made in USA studio, this is Lock and Load. Ben, how are we? How am I? Am I coming over there all broke up too? I'm still okay. So, all right. So, I dropped the stream and everything. We're good to go. I'll just muddle through everything else. Having a few technical difficulties. No problem. My guest this hour from everywhere. I mean, he writes about everywhere. He's in huge, huge, huge demand as an instructor. Joining me again is Masad Ayoub. Recently, you wrote an article about the myths pertaining to self-defense with guns.
Well, there are a lot of those.
It was gunfighting fact versus fiction. And the first thing you wrote about, I guess in the old days, back when I was a kid reading you in the 70s, would it occur where, like, somebody would defend themselves with a gun and the cops would come up to them and pat them on the back and say, "Wow, you did real good. Swell. Go on inside and have some tea."
Well, you know, that still happens occasionally. More and more, though, we've got generations of Americans now who've been brainwashed by the media and the politicians with the whole thing of guns are evil, therefore people who would have guns are evil, blah, blah, blah. We're seeing more politically motivated prosecutors who figure they can make points and maybe get a Bloomberg donation for the next re-election campaign if they take a citizen who's shot in self-defense and put him through the ringer and say, "See, I'm doing my part to stamp out these evil vigilantes." In addition, we've definitely seen a rise in lawsuits. Certainly in police officer-involved shootings, it's rare to see one of those that doesn't result in a lawsuit by the family of the deceased. And we're seeing them as well in situations where the armed citizen has shot and killed a criminal with absolute justifiability. But the family finds somebody to chase the ambulance and twist the story.
Are you noticing, with all of this stuff that's been happening, have you become aware of the Ferguson effect among law enforcement? Because just about every time I see video of a shooting, I mean, 9 times out of 10, the cop seems to have been justified. I mean, but are they pulling that back? Is it because of those kinds of things like lawsuits and everything? Wouldn't that kind of straighten all this
stuff? Well, I think body cameras will help. But at first, cops were leery of the dashboard cameras. I mean, think about it. If your boss says, "Hey, all of a sudden we're going to videotape everything you do at work," your first thought is, "That's an insult. Are you questioning my integrity as an employee?" And in this case, as a public servant. But what the cops found once the dash cams were out there was it absolutely kills all the false complaints that they get. See, bad guys don't like being arrested. They know how the system works because they've been going through the revolving doors of the criminal justice machine since they were juvenile offenders. And they make false complaints against officers. And the dash cams and now the body cams have done far more to clear the officers than it's done to get any of them in trouble. So whether or not folks like the idea of wearing the camera to work, folks get used to it. I think we may see the day when a whole lot of armed citizens start wearing body cams.
Well, I mean, in Russia, everybody's running around with a dash cam because of insurance fraud, aren't they?
Absolutely true.
Another thing you talk about is aiming for center mass, which is actually, we're actually aiming for the chest cavity, aren't we?
Essentially, you're aiming at the part of the machine you need to make stop working so the machine can't hurt you anymore. So essentially, we teach 3 points of aim. Center chest, essentially aiming where you do CPR. The deep brain shot, if everything else has failed or if you're under fire from someone who's behind cover and the head is all you can see. And also the pelvic shot. It's controversial in some tactical circles, but you start looking at departments that have employed it, and you find generally when a powerful bullet hits the human being hard enough to break the pelvis, the guy goes down. Now, against a guy with a gun, it helps, but it doesn't end the fight. I tell my students to think of your opponent as a tank that walks on 2 legs. It's a mobile, if he's got a gun, it's a mobile artillery piece. If you take away his mobility, you blow the treads off the tank, you haven't neutralized the threat. You've simply turned it into a fixed artillery piece. But the guy who's coming at you with a knife, the guy with a club, if you can break the pelvis, the orthopedic surgeons agree, a serious pelvic fracture within a step, the guy's going to be down. Which means if you can hit it, the pelvis is a much bigger target than the human heart or brain. In that type of situation, you can take away his mobility faster than you can shut down his fuel pump. And more likely, then you're going to be able to hit that computer between his ears and short-circuit it. So those are the three points of aim that we teach, and we teach them to apply it to whatever their given situation is.
Another thing you talk about is the myth about he who shoots first wins.
It's he who hits first wins. There's a whole lot of good guys out there, police and civilian, who've come under fire, returned fire, won the gunfight. They came home with nothing but sweat stains on their armpits or maybe a bandage, and the other guy went into a zipper bag. But it's the first fight-stopping hit that's going to make the difference, not the first loud noise.
Well, that part of it, I've always found that pretty interesting because I presume in gunfights, when you're teaching people in gunfights and they're actually involved in something that might run for longer than 10 seconds, they need to start moving, don't they?
Well, if they're behind solid cover, I'd say stay there.
Right.
If you're not, I'd say move. Again, you've got to tailor the tactic to the situation. There are times when the stand and deliver approach is going to work best. Your classic example being the OK Corral shooting. What history shows, Wyatt Earp took no more than two steps in the course of that 30-second gunfight. And that was when his brother cried out, "I'm hit." And he's just third a shot come from his right. So he pivots around and tries to get himself between Tom McLowery, who it's believed fired that shot that wounded Morgan Earp.
Right.
And before he can shoot McLowery, Doc Holliday has nailed him with a 12-gauge. McLowery's brother, Frank McLowery, was one of the first who was shot in the course of that fight. He was ducking, bobbing, weaving, and ran farther than anybody else, and was still shot dead at the end of the gunfight. At the same time, you look at others who will tell you, look, movement is life, and if I had stood still, I'd be dead now. So you have to tailor the tactic to the task. There's no one plan that works for every unpredictable encounter.
All right, we're coming up on the next break. I guess this hour is Masad Ayoub, which there's so many different ways to find his stuff. Are you still doing your TV show, Personal Defense TV?
Nope. Personal Defense TV ended a couple of years ago. I did a season on computer, and as of now, I'm not on TV.
Well, that's okay.
Fun 8 years with BDTV and a fun year with Modern Shooter.
All right. Anyway, we'll get to what he is doing right now when we get back. This is Lock and Load. Looking for an edge.
Eliminating the fault. Creating a fusion between man and weapon. This is S3F Solutions.
S3F ignores the naysayers, stepping out of the box and reimagining weapons modification with an approach that is altogether different.
Paying special attention to the components that shake the shot, S3F smooths the space between each pull of the trigger, equaling more rounds downrange in less time. S3FSolutions.com. In an imperfect world, accuracy matters.
America, hear me. You only think that you've taken all the steps for self-defense? When you call law enforcement, then what? Next, you need to call Second Call Defense. Second Call Defense is there to ensure that you receive your deserved justice. A one-of-a-kind service designed to defend the armed citizen in America from being swept away by a skewed justice system. Complete your preparation today by going to secondcalldefense.org. Now, you are ready.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, a place for mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today.
A Tuesday night. This is Lock and Load. The number to get in, 877-807-4048. My guest this hour from, just about everywhere. Writes for most of the American Handgunner, Combat Handgunner, all kinds of magazines, all kinds of publications, is Massad Ayoub. You actually took on a few people because there's one of the things that you're talking about is how a lot of these guys get sued for what is actually a good self-defense shoot. And because of this myth, you refer to it as hierarchy of lethality, but what you're basically talking about was he didn't have a gun. He only had a ball bat. He only had a knife. He didn't have anything, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I was, to give you an idea, a week ago today, last Tuesday, I was in court testifying for an armed citizen in a murder case. He was attacked by a burglar he found in his home. Our guy was 66 at the time of the shooting, not in the best of health and not a physically large man. The assailant, who had a long history of crime, including violent crime, which the jury was not allowed to know because it wasn't known to our guy and therefore was not germane to the decision for which he was being judged, his attacker was 241 pounds, 37 years old. He confronts the guy in his home and tries to make a citizen's arrest at gunpoint, tells him to freeze or stop. The guy spins around, looks at him, and says, "I'm going to hurt you." Starts coming toward him. Our guy raises his gun and fires. We believe happened in the instant of the shot, he sees the guy turn. And nobody can duck a bullet. What you can do is when you realize, uh-oh, your bluff has been called and this guy's bringing a gun up to shoot you, you tend to reflexively turn away, which this guy did.
Right.
The bullet entered behind lateral midline, just under the shoulder, exited the center of the chest. And the prosecutor decided to frame that as a case of, if he's shot in the back, it must be murder. He actually made, I'm told, I wasn't there for his opening statement, but I'm told his opening argument was actually that this 240-pound violent criminal was like a little girl because he was so helpless against the man with a deadly 9mm pistol. Last night, I did a deposition in a federal case involving an officer-involved shooting on the West Coast. The suspect is coming at the officers with a knife, screaming, "Kill me, I'll kill you." They shoot him. The other side is saying, "Ooh, they should have done this. They should have done that. They should have tried to talk to him." Well, I explained they were trying to talk to him. That's when he pulled the knife. See how well that worked?
Yes.
The bottom line is the bad guys tend not to cooperate with the good guys. And the ideal outcomes require ideal circumstances. And in both cases, it's sad the man died. In both cases, it's sad that there are now two grieving families. But in the end, both of those men, in my opinion, brought their deaths upon themselves. When you violate another person's right to live, my brother, you forfeit your own.
Yeah.
And that's just not American law. That's the history of God, man, civilization, and the very fabric of the law itself.
Right. Now, in the case of that old man, does disparity of force come into play at all with that? I mean, when you've got a younger assailant who has a deadly means out there, he's got a knife, he's bigger, he's younger, isn't that disparity of force, isn't that justification enough if the guy's in the guy's home?
The guy in the civilian case turned out not to be armed, though our guy, of course, had no way of knowing that he wasn't. But he's lunging at our guy, so we've got size and strength. Our guy has some physical debilitation, so we've got able-bodied attacking the physically handicapped. So that's two elements of disparity of force right there. The third element is, if the guy is reaching for a gun, he has to be treated as an armed man. If there had been a pistol two steps away and the guy was reaching for that, as he yelled, "I'm going to hurt you,"
right?
Shoot him. Anybody would shoot him.
Sure.
Now he's a couple of steps away from our guy. His hands are up. And he's coming at our guy who has a drawn gun. You've got to assume that he's convinced he can take that gun away and kill you. If he believes it, it's good enough for me to believe it. And now that's an element of deadly danger in and of itself. So it's deadly danger three times over. But that sort of thing tends to have to be explained to a jury, because ever since even us old guys were watching The Lone Ranger and Roy Rogers on TV, the assumption was anybody who's shot in the back is the victim of cowardly murder.
Right.
So all those things have to be explained to a jury.
For me, disparity of force has changed, because back in January I had a bad heart attack, and now I've had my chest sawed down the middle, and I take this medication where, I mean, even when I just fold myself into a car, I'm out of breath for a little while, no matter how much cardio I do. Now, I look okay. But in one of those moments where I'm having to make a choice, I'm probably going to have to go lethal, which is, I'm sure that's going to look real bad for me.
Well, the other thing is, a man who's just had open heart surgery and, as you put it, has had his sternum sawn open, a punch to the breastbone that might just knock the wind out of me could certainly kill you.
Oh, yeah.
What I'd recommend for anybody in your situation or anything like it, Bill, is if you see a situation where the bully is obviously starting to come at you, say as loud as you can, "Sir, if you hit me, I could die. Do not assault me." If he continues the assault, that is pretty much established that his intent is to kill or cause a horrible crippling injury.
Right.
And in the modern vernacular, or the old vernacular, I guess, that's one more nail in his coffin, not yours.
Yeah, the problem I think I would probably face, I don't even know if wearing plates now when I train, I don't know if that actually has any benefit to me, because if I take a shot in the front plate.
It would certainly distribute the impact.
Yeah, but it's still going to be, I'm still going to take a little bit of a transfer. It primarily, Moss, it has to do with the cardio telemetry nurses. They instilled this fear of God in me about anything having to do with my breastbone. That was over a year ago. I'm supposed to be completely healed, but it's still, I can still feel it when I call for sneeze. And
don't forget, it's absolutely legal for you to purchase Kevlar body armor that's concealable under regular street clothes and wear it just like a cop might.
I have thought about that. I've got a level 3 vest, but it's so thick that I would have to wear a really
like
big...
a level 2A.
Right.
I have it fitted to you. Something like the Armor Express brand, for example.
Okay.
It's a little more expensive than the cheap mail order stuff, but it's certainly worth it. And in essence, you wear a starched shirt over it with some color or pattern to it that's like one size large, or a chambray shirt one size large, or a sweatshirt or something. And basically, unless they're, up giving you a hug, nobody's going to notice.
I will look into that. Armor Express, I wrote that down. We're coming up on the last break. Now, let's see. You tell everybody where they can find all the stuff that you do real quick before we go into the break, just so they know how to find you.
Sure. It's MassadAyoubGroup.com. That's MassadAyoubGroup.com. We offer training around the country to private citizens as well as law enforcement. And if they go to the website, they'll probably find a class somewhere within driving distance.
Very good. I know you do some stuff in South Carolina, don't you?
I don't think we have South Carolina online for this year, but we're doing North Florida. Just did a class in Virginia, and I'll be leaving tomorrow for a class in Alabama. And we do them pretty much coast to coast. We're doing Alaska every year now, too.
There you go. We'll be right back. My guest this hour, Massad Ayoub. This is Lock and Load.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
All right, listen up, because this is the most important thing you're going to hear all day. What if I said you could make money flipping houses without any cash, credit, or manual labor? And what if I said you could do it part-time from the comfort of your home? Sound unflippin' believable? Hi, I'm Preston Neely, and I'm going to prove it by sending you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It sells online for $19.95, but I'm giving away free copies this week. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-959-9582. I used to be so broke, I had my electricity shut off 9 times. But I figured out a simple way to make money flipping houses without even breaking a sweat. Now I'm living the good life, and so should you. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. Hands down, it's the fastest, easiest way to get started in real estate. Let me prove it. Call right now to find out how to get your free book. When they're gone, they're gone. Call 1-800-959-9582. 1-800-959-9582.
I'm Jesse Gonzalez, Vice President of Kmart. Did you know that premature birth is the number one killer of babies in the United States, or that survivors can face a lifetime of serious health problems? But you can help. Join me in Kmart for the March for Babies Walk. We'll work together to raise funds for research and programs that help the March Against Fight Premature Birth and Birth Defects and improve the health of moms and babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year.
A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health issue and company and other factors. Not available in all states.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Coming to you live from the Frog Lube Performance, made in the USA studio. This is Lock and Load. The number to get in, 877-807-4048. Been having a few technical difficulties, but we have powered through them. We'll get it all fixed after the show is over. Of course, that you guys haven't heard it. I've been hearing it. But my guest this hour is Masad Ayoub. Let me ask you a question, Mas, if I may.
Sure.
When I came out from somebody that's been doing it as long as you have, I'm sort of actually glad that you're here because I haven't had anybody else to ask this. All the rock stars don't. I ask them the question. They look at me like I've grown a second head. When you come out of open heart surgery, when they let you out and everything, while everything's going good, you start out taking a rapidly diminishing amount of medication, which has a, you know, you have different effects on your body. Now, one of the effects that I've been having is something in my back to where when I carry, say my Glock 17, or sometimes my Glock 19. It is, it's painful. No matter how I carry it, inside the waistband, outside the waistband, it just kills me. But I don't want to not carry a gun. And I've been thinking about going to like a Smith & Wesson M&P Shield or a Springfield Armory XDS. What do you think about guns like that, that new, more comfortable, which, you know, carrying a gun isn't supposed to be comfortable, but I just want one that I can carry that doesn't hurt. What do you think about that type of firearm?
Oh, it's one of the most popular kinds we have out now. Look at the popularity of the Shield that you mentioned. With just a few years in production, they've already passed 1 million of them sold. The Glock 43, since beginning of March, I think, last year, has sold a huge number of units. And the year before that, the little Glock 42 380 did the same. If you're finding pressure on the back, like you know, the weight of something on one side or the other of the belt is bothering the lumbar, something flat enough to carry in a pants pocket could be the answer. For a lot of guys with lumbar problems, I've found the shoulder holster works well, particularly the shoulder system that Gallagher at Galco pioneered decades ago, where you've got the pistol on one side and the magazines on the other, and it equalizes the weight of the harness on both sides and takes all the weight off the back.
Right.
Check with your cardiologist first, because straps going over the shoulder are going to be applying a little bit of pressure to the back muscles, and in your case, that could be contraindicated.
But
a light pistol and a good pocket holster might be the answer for you at this time in your life, Bill.
So I'm not really, is it your opinion that I'm not giving anything up? I'm a big capacity person. One of the reasons I like, yeah. You, say again?
I understand, but a seven-shot, eight-shot pistol that you've got right there is going to be heck out of a 20-shot pistol that you have to keep in the desk or keep in the car.
Roger that.
It might not be there when you need it. Spare magazines are light. Spare magazines are easier to carry than guns. And a couple of seconds, with some practice, in a couple of seconds, you got that baby reloaded and ready to go.
What are you finding as far as in civilian self-defense? How many shots are exchanged, average?
We don't know exactly. There's no gathering point, so there's no empirical database on that. The great majority of civilian encounters, no shots at all are fired. The bad guy pulls his knife. The good guy pulls his gun. The bad guy decides he has urgent, pressing business elsewhere and leaves, and nobody's blood splatters on the sidewalk. Once the shooting starts, very often 3 to 5 rounds is enough. One detective in Indianapolis is now putting a study together of private citizen self-defense shootings that he's investigated over the years. And so far, very few of them have gone beyond 5 or 6.
So the shield would be plenty enough gun in the gunfight.
Sure. A shield that you've got on beats the heck out of an 18-shot MP, full-size, that's in the glove box or someplace else where you can't reach it.
Roger that. You did an article about downsizing, and I think that was primarily you were talking about, were you talking more about caliber going from the 40 or the 45 to the 9mm?
In my case, I was talking more about caliber. As you said earlier, we've got the best ammunition we've ever had, and it's really gotten the 9mm up off its knees and made it an effective self-defense and police cartridge. That said, though, the same technology does apply to the larger caliber guns.
Right.
When I make a point of carrying a .45, is first where I'm working for the police department, where I'm a part-time cop, simply because the .45 is their issue weapon. But also anytime I'm in cold weather. And the reason is, historically, even the best of the hollow points can sometimes fail to expand if they have to go through real heavy winter clothing. And the inert material packs the inside of the hollow cavity, and the bullet fails to expand. So essentially, it turns it into ball ammo. And I always figured if my ammo might turn into ball, I'd much rather have it turn into big ball. So cold weather environments, when I was just out in a cold climate for that trial a week ago, I had a .45 with me. Right now, I'm talking to you from Florida. I'm carrying a Glock 26 9mm with +P+, and I'm perfectly comfortable with that. But it's like anything else. We don't wear the same clothes all the time in all weather and all situations, and I personally don't carry the same gun all the time in all weather and all situations.
Right.
You try to tailor the tool and the tactic to the predictable task.
Have you tested the Polycasin Scepter round?
I have not. Not yet.
That's the one that looks like a drill bit. I was liking that round when I had a 1911 because the profile of the nose means that in a 1911 it will feed. Because I love the 1911, but I can't find a 1911 like the one I had in the military that had been in the military since World War II, and it had, you know, been issued to 200 or 300 people and had how many thousands of rounds run through it where it broke in. And I can't find one with that kind of tolerance anywhere. So so I had shifted to the Glock. I'm running a Glock 21.
Well, the Glock 21 is a fine pistol.
Yeah.
If you want
it is.
A little smaller, certainly the Glock 30.
My hands are just big enough to where I need as much grip as I can. What are your thoughts on in the remaining time we've got? Because there's a lot of people out there that say, you know, if you customize your gun, they're going to make you out to be a mad dog. What?
Well, they're going to try. We found we can shoot down almost all of those arguments. The only ones that are really difficult are, number one, a trigger pull that's lighter than factory spec.
Right.
The reason is the other side is, in a criminal case, they're looking for a conviction. And while they'd rather have murder than manslaughter, they don't want to bite off more than they can chew, fail to prove their case, and get an acquittal, which is humiliating to any prosecutor's office.
Right.
It's hard to convince the jury that somebody who's been a law-abiding citizen all his life suddenly turned into a murderer. It's easy to convince them that that person got careless and reckless for just 1 second, which is all you really need to show to get a manslaughter conviction.
Right.
And if they're trying to say that you did it by accident, it's a whole lot easier for them to prove it if you have what's colloquially called a hair trigger. Now, a week ago in the Peter Liang case in New York, the officer was charged with manslaughter over an accidental fatal shooting.
Did he have the 12-pound trigger?
He did. His weighed 11 and a half pounds.
Right.
And the prosecution passed that gun around to the jury. Every single juror pulled the trigger and realized, whoa, something like that ain't going off, by accident. You've got to be really negligent for that to happen. And they wound up convicting the officer for manslaughter.
Right.
You can imagine what would have happened if there had been, the 3.5-pound trigger that a lot of lock owners like to retrofit to their guns.
Yeah.
So I remember with the Glock, you stay with the 5.5-pound pole that the factory virtually mandates for any serious use. And if you want to go to an 8-pound, so much the better. In 1911, the history of it is anything less than 4 pounds has generally been considered by the manufacturers to be too light for use under stress.
Right.
That's generally reserved for target pistols. As
before we run out, I've got about 20 seconds left. That New York trigger, that's in lieu of training. And, man, we're seeing how good that works out.
Well, the New York cops are winning their gunfights, so I can't say the training is bad either. I think the Liang case was simply a very unfortunate confluence of circumstances. But I think a very good case could be made that anybody might have made the same mistake Liang did.
Moss, thank you very much for joining me. I will be in touch. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bill. Stay safe.
Yes, sir. Same to you. We'll do this again in 21 hours. Between now and then, remember this. This has never been about gun control. Not once. Not ever. It has been. It's always going to be about total control. On a Tuesday, this has been Lock and Load.
What would you call a gun shop that sought out and listened to the calls from the tactical community? A shop that looks like a tactical operator's boutique. The only name that makes sense is Reactive Gunworks. Reactive Gunworks specializes in making the hard hit more easily obtained.
No more waiting for the build or availability.
Reactive Gunworks seeks out the latest and the best with a discerning taste.
Go to ReactiveGunworks.com.
The weapons you want without any delays.
In a time as life situation, do you have everything you need? Dark Angel is the answer to that question. The Direct Action Response Kit has everything you need and nothing that you don't. Dark Angel removes the confusion no matter the situation. In combat or self-defense, Dark Angel Medical breaches the barrier and supplies what you need to get your teammate or loved one to the next level of medical care. To find a dealer near you, go to DarkAngelMedical.com. Dark Angel Medical. This is simplicity under stress.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Would you like to receive $250 to $1,000 cash per day? Go to richmoneyrich.com. No website, no selling, no explaining. Just take these simple two steps and go to richmoneyrich.com. You can be generating cash in the next 24 hours simply using this system. Good news is, it runs on 100% autopilot, and you don't need any experience to get started. It's easy. Get your share of easy riches and go to richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com. Go now. Brought to you by the Conservative Investor. Current returns not indicative of future results.